Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? It's Lean Keys, Real Talk, back with another episode. We are here to preview debatably the biggest card of 2018. As 2018 comes to a close, the UFC does a pretty big scale, pretty high scale, stacked out cards for the last card of the year to close it out. So for this one, you got John Jones rematching Alexander Gustafsson for the now vacant light heavyweight belt, and both guys made weight, both fighters in the co-main event, so Chris Cyborg and Amanda Nunes also both made weight, so we're good, we're locked in for the main event and co-main event. They had a press conference yesterday that I wasn't able to view yet, but I know that I saw a lot of updates with people writing down quotes and things that were said from the press conference. So I do have a little bit of an idea of what was said and an idea of what the presser was like. And, I mean, it's pretty kind of – maybe I didn't miss that much, you know. I don't know. You know, sometimes they're really good press conferences, sometimes they're not. A lot of times, I mean, I feel, depending on the questions that a lot of the, you know, different media, different MMA journalists at the event are asking. A lot of times they like to direct the questions towards one guy, you know, like when you have a Conor McGregor is on the card and you have that press conference, most of the journalists covering the event direct all their questions towards him. And it's like, on one hand, I understand why, but at the same time, it's like when you have journalism, like a key thing in journalism is to cover different sides of an issue or an event or different things that are going on to talk with and interview multiple sources. How, I don't just see how it makes sense. I mean, I understand like there's this popular names that people want to hear about, so they're going to ask them questions, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know, if I was over there, I'd want to just diversify my content and be asking questions to different fighters that are at the presser too, not just that one guy. And so from the coverage that I was seeing with the tweets coming back from the press conference, it just sounded like all the reporters were asking John Jones questions, and I didn't hear anything. I don't know if Cyborg and Nunes were at the press conference or not, or if it was just them two guys, but I really didn't see any quotes coming back from Gustafsson, so, which is kind of sad. I mean, he plays a 50% in that in pretty much the biggest main event of the year. So I don't really understand why they're not putting the spotlight on that guy too. Gustafsson's a beast. He's a beast, and I actually am really excited to see him back in there too. I mean, both of them, but still really. I think people are sleeping on Gustafsson, like just as a fighter, you know. I think he deserves more attention. I like his mind state towards the game, so I definitely wish from what I have seen of it that they would have talked to Gustafsson a little bit too. Hey Lee, you out there, bro?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
What's going on?
Oh man, just a Friday night before a big UFC event. But just to chime in on what you were saying about the press conference, it seemed like I watched a little bit of it. All the questions were basically directed towards John Jones and Dana White. And then you had a few questions go to Alexander Gustafsson. And, you know, Gustafsson said, he basically said maybe John ain't as good as we all thought he was. Maybe the stuff he puts in his body has a hint, you know, la, 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 la. And then John said, you know, well, if that's the case, he said something about, if that's the case, I beat you and I didn't even take my camp seriously. What did I say about you? La, 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 la. And then, you know, they did talk to Cyborg and Amanda Nunes. And you know, they talk trash. They didn't really talk trash to each other. I think Cyborg just said, oh, yes, we called her out. She's been running from her, and she can't run once they lock the cage door Saturday. So, you know, man, it's going to be good, man. I think one thing about the press conferences, though, that I would like to see, I would like to see all the fighters that's fighting on the main card be at the presser, not just the fighters that's doing the main event or the co-main event, because there's a lot about the fighters on the main card that we don't know. That, you know, we know about their fighting style and stuff like that, but they normally don't cover them guys in, like, Embedded or UFC Countdown. And I think if you had them involved in the press conferences, you probably could get to know the other fighters, you know, ask some questions, you know, find out information about them, you know, find out a little bit about their background and stuff like that. And I wouldn't mind the UFC doing that down the road.
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of times you end up seeing the post-fight interviews after the event from those fighters, from other guys. You know, I bet, you know, we didn't see Corey Anderson at the press conference, but I bet you after the post-fight press conference, there'll be an interview from Corey Anderson, or they'll have him at the presser for the post-fight presser after the event concludes. And guys like that, like Michael Chiesa, I bet you they'll have him. You'll have one or two interviews from him popping up after the event, which I don't really understand, because going back to what you said, it's like there's a lot of stuff we don't know about these guys. And there's also just, you know, related to that, bouncing off that, is like there's a lot of angles to take with new things going on with some of these fighters. For example, Michael Chiesa, speaking of, this is his first fight at welterweight. And no one's getting to ask questions about that because he ain't at the presser. He made weight today, and it's going to be his first fight in the welterweight division. I think that to be worth talking about, and I want to hear him speak about that a little bit. Now I just want to hear his perspective and his motivation going into it, because I don't really know how big he was at the time when his walk around weight, you know, cutting down to 155, or if he had to get used to, a more stricter diet to be able to keep, you know, closer, maybe in the 160 range or something like that, or if he's always been much bigger, just made a bigger cut. But either which way you slice it, I would have wanted to hear them,
exactly,
you know, one of the reporters play
exactly
off that angle and hear about that.
And because, with Chiesa, he definitely had problems making weight. I think it was at 155 he was having problems making weight. So when he moved up to 170?
Yeah, he's...
Yeah, I won't say he moved up to 170. So yeah, man, I mean, it's a lot of stuff that, we as fans, you know, we want to feel like we are part of the game, you know, part of the fight, part of the build up and all that. I mean, we get to do that on Twitter. You know, you get to go back and forth with people on Twitter, you know, concerning certain topics and stuff. But on Twitter, you know, people got their hard stances. People either they all for somebody or they all against somebody. So there's no talking most people off their stance on Twitter. You know, you just have to agree to disagree on Twitter. But I think with the pressers, if you have everybody involved, you know, you can sit there and you can ask them like a Chiesa, you know, so what was your mindset going into 170? You know, what did you do different? You know, how do you feel? Do you feel stronger? Did you lose some speed? Stuff like that. You know, you get to ask questions like that. But then, you know, you got Megan Anderson, you know, coming off of her defeat to Holly Holm. I want to know, hey, Megan, so what did you learn from your fight with Holly? What did you work on? Did you feel that, you know, you got better this camp? Did you improve on? It's that certain stuff that we, as, you know, being in our show is MMA based, that me and you, we will ask people, you know, we will ask a fighter, but people that actually report on UFC, you know, they probably know, get little tidbits here and there, but we don't because, you know, we're not, I mean, you know, we're not insiders for the UFC, I would say.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things that I'd want to see. You know, I think we both can agree. We just want to see more out of the press conferences. You know, like when they have those, you know, 25th anniversary press conferences and all that, when you have, I mean, those are like every, you know, a mix of fighters from like the next handful of events, which, but that style though, I really like. Like when you have like, you know, two or three rows of fighters instead of just having like, you know, two long tables separated by a podium, and you have just the co-main event and the main event fighters just sitting two on each side, or the champions on each side, how in the challenges on one side, you have two or three rows of fighters, which is actually representing the whole main card.
Because you get all the top stars in the UFC normally at those press conferences. You have all the big dogs there, you know, people that are about to headline, you know, main event or co-main event, you know. And I love that. Because normally there's no sugarcoating going on in that press conference. Everybody speaking their
minds,
talking shit to each other, just breaking.
Yeah, man.
You okay?
You know, I just want to say this really quickly. What do you say?
I'm talking to my granddaughter. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, what I just want to say real quick, and this is kind of off topic. Have you seen the website, the UFC.com, I don't know how I feel about this, man. This is another thing. Like, they're making it more focused on, like, the one fight instead of having, like showcasing your whole card. Like, it was just pretty difficult for me to even just navigate to find the full card for this weekend on the UFC.com.
Yeah, because you got to keep hitting that button until it gives you the whole card. And if you don't know that, you know, you just sitting there, you like, well, damn. Then you got to go to another site or something where you can see the whole card. I just don't understand why they did that to the website. The website should be easy to navigate.
Yeah, man, because people aren't even, I don't know. When you make your website tough to navigate, that you're just telling people not to stay on your website. So you're getting less clicks. People don't even want to look at it because it becomes something that's not a source of information for them. Like, I go to these to preview, you know, the entire card most of the time. You know, for almost all the cards I look on here and try to preview, you know, which fighters is on the card, who's on the prelims and everything. But I can't even get to it. I mean, and they don't even have the prelims here. You only have... It's hard to even get past just the main event promo. Like, you have only Jones and Gustafson is, like, the first four or five, like, pitchers to even get through. You have to, like, scroll all the way down to finally see what's going on. Okay, they have the prelims and early prelims. Okay. So they have everything, but it's just very hard to get to it. Like, before, you had all of it almost on one page. Like, you can see the main card and prelims. You don't have to click into the prelims. Like, it's not separated like this. I don't know. I don't know. You see they got Uriah Hall on the early prelims, too?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. That's kind of funny to me. Cause,
I don't know why Latifi and Anderson is on the main card, though.
Yeah, that's an okay fight. I mean, one that I'm really kind of looking forward to is the first fight on, I think, the early prelims, or maybe this is on the regular prelims. I don't know what time, because this website is very confusing. I can't tell. But you have Brian Kelleher is fighting this
versus
guy.
Versus Montel Jackson.
And, yeah, I'm looking forward to see this Montel Jackson guy fight because I was watching his highlights on Twitter the other day, and I was like, damn. Like, from like another organization, and I was like, yo, this guy's a beast. So I'm looking forward to seeing him fight. I just can't tell if it's on the prelims or the early prelims, because the way this is set up, I
really on the early prelims.
Don't know.
It's on the early prelims, so that's going to be on, Fight Pass or something?
I think the early prelims has more fights than usual, because usually the early prelims, they only do two fights. They got four fights here.
They got four. Yeah, they got four fights on the early prelims, man. But
damn.
I think that's going to be on, like, Fight Pass.
Yeah, Fight Pass. Yeah, I know that. But I'm just saying, usually they only got two fights. So what you're saying is we're going to get more fights and less of the coverage in between and less of the highlights in between trying to hype up fighters. I like the highlights, but getting a little bit less of it and more fights, I think is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I think the early prelims should be on TV too. Actually, you know what?
Yeah.
It'd be an even better idea. The early prelims probably should be on the UFC should come up with a YouTube channel and put the early prelims on the YouTube channel for people that don't want to get the UFC Fight Pass like me. I don't want the UFC Fight Pass. But if you was to put it on the YouTube channel, I would watch it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think that's a good idea. No,
hey, but you know what? I know we kind of off topic, but I want to go off topic one more time before we start talking about UFC 232. How do you feel about DC relinquishing the light heavyweight belt today?
I wasn't really too. Yeah, that didn't really. That news didn't move my needle at all. I saw that, and my cousin texted me and sent me the screenshot, you know, of that news, and I didn't really care. I didn't really even think about it. I'm like, okay, because he knows that once they, you know, both guys made weight, right? Once they get in the cage, once the clock starts tomorrow, he's no longer the champion, so he's automatically stripped when the clock starts and when the first punch is thrown, and the main event. So, I mean, he said he doesn't want to get stripped of the title. He'd rather drop the belt before he can get stripped of it, you know, so he doesn't have that on his name. I understand that part. But at the same time, if you're looking at it, see it another way. And this is the way I imagine you're thinking of it in, because I know how you think. And I think this is what I thought, because I was like, okay, if you look at it one way, the man don't want to get stripped. He doesn't want to have it stripped on his legacy, but he want to drop the belt. But then look at it another way, because people are so quick to forget what happened. The same people that watched that headline don't remember the headlines from 5-6 months ago when DC was saying he wanted to go back after he beat Stipe, and he said he wanted to go back down to light heavyweight and defend the belt again. And know who he said he wanted to defend the belt against? Shogun Hua. He wanted to fight Shogun Hua
exactly.
At light heavyweight.
Yep.
But then now, see how he changes up when he realized – when he saw Shogun Hua get dusted in like 10 seconds versus Anthony Smith, so that changed course. Then all of a sudden he seen that John Jones was coming back because he thought he'd be suspended for longer, so he gets a reduced suspension. And now he knows that he needs to either, if he were to defend the belt, he needs to either defend against John Jones or Gustafson if this was an interim fight. So basically, look at it that way, and you're seeing DC going from wanting to fight an easy fight in Shogun Hua to then seeing that he'd have a really tough fight in either John Jones or Gustafson, where he's not sure if he can beat either guy at this point. So that's the way that I dog it.
See, you know, for those listeners that don't know, I'm not the biggest DC fan. You know, I respect his talent. I respect his, you know, he did what he did. You know, he came from heavyweight down to light heavyweight, you know. But he had 3 title defenses in 3.5 years. 3 title defenses in 3.5 years. And he the one said he had the belt for 3.5 years. I'm going off of his words. But I went back and I looked for the title defenses, and it was Rumble Johnson. And then he fought Anderson Silva, which is a non-title match. And then he fought Alexander Gustafsson. And then he fought Uzdemir. 3 title defenses in 3.5 years. I want to let that sink in, Keys. That's 1 fight a year, bro.
Yeah, that is
bogus. For a champ, man. So, you know, man, it's like this. I get it. DC and John hate each other, and I think it's a natural hate. I think when John beat him the last time he kicked him in the face and made him cry on TV, I think what John said after that, he was actually being genuine when he said, DC has made me a better fighter, la, 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 la. You know, he said he wished he could be the man DC was, la, 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 la. You know, I felt John meant, he probably did mean that at the time, but these two guys don't like each other. And for DC to relinquish the belt, for real, come on, DC. Man, we fans of the game, dog. We know you was going to get stripped of the belt. Getting stripped and relinquishing basically, okay, potato, potato. So you're not going to be stripped because being stripped means that you did something wrong. No, it doesn't. It means that you have been inactive. That's what it means. It don't mean that you did nothing wrong. It means you've been inactive. So, you know, man, it is what it is. And, you know, double cheeseburger, I mean, my bad, double champ, you know, he was, he is. And, you know, he'll go down in history as that. But for me and your dollars, he was a non-existent champ. And I know when me and you first met, you was one of the biggest DC fans I ever met. DC this, DC that, DC this, DC that. And I think he done kind of like wore you down a little bit.
You know, I was waiting for you to say that. I've been waiting for that for a little bit now. I knew people was gonna come up with that on me eventually. I was surprised it didn't happen sooner. Yeah, but that's true actually, because you know I respect who DC is as a person. A lot of his ways. No, I respect his motivation and his skill set, but it's just like a lot of his attitude that comes out at certain moments is things that I don't respect, his attitude towards people and just things that happen. Some of his cockiness is, I think, misplaced sometimes, you know, when he says things, it's like, man, you got to calm down. Like, and then on top of it, when it, so those things were a factor, but then when he really tipped the scale on me, and I really went south on really, you know, jumped ship with the DC thing, was when he had to claw Stipe's eye out to win the fight, and then saying to him that if we go again, it would be the same outcome and all this, and it's like, man, DC, you was getting lit up in that fight. You were getting lit up in that fight. Stipe was landing heavy shots on you. So I'll go back and watch the fight on YouTube and watch you get outstruck by Stipe up until you started clawing his eye out. Then when you kept clawing his eye out and you were getting those breaks in between because the ref had to tell you to keep your hands to yourself, keep your fingers out of another man's eye aside the ring about 4 times, then you landed the knockout because you knew when he – because one good thing that he did was he studied tape and knew that when Stipe comes out of the clinch, he leaves his chin open. So that was one good thing that DC did to be able to score the knockout. But just his attitude towards the win and the way he won it, I didn't respect the way he won it, and then the way he acted towards Stipe as if he felt Stipe never had a chance of beating him, which was just crazy to me because Stipe is a far better striker than you, DC, so I don't even understand why he would say that. Like, the man made it seem like dominated and then got a knockout. He was getting dominated and then got a knockout. That's what happened. He was losing the fight and then got a lucky shot. That's what happened.
Well, you know how I feel, man, because I felt that, number one, DC has been handpicking guys to fight instead of fighting guys that are more deserving. You know, I definitely thought he should have rematched Stipe instead of fighting Derrick Lewis. And then the excuse he used for not fighting Stipe was he had to have surgery on his hand or his hand wasn't right. But his hand was good enough to fight Derrick Lewis. So I'm calling BS on that. And then he knew he could beat Uzdemir. And then he knew Uzdemir was a lesser talent, a guy that basically wasn't well-rounded enough to be in the octagon with him. So he fought him. And it was like, okay, I understand. You know, I understand him not fighting Gustafson. You know, he had just beat him or whatever. And then Gustafson had took some time off. But why fight Uzdemir? Why not fight Manuel or Manuel was out there. You had Glover Teixeira was out there. You had other 205 guys out there that was, you know, that were probably more deserving of a title shot than Uzdemir. But, you know, man, it's to me, the UFC, they have to go back to the old days, man. Right now, I think the fighters are more in control of when they fight, who they fight now, like boxers. And I think once that comes into place, then you don't get the best competition. You don't get the fights that we want to see. And, you know, another thing that's being thrown out there now is I guess the UFC wants Tyron Woodley to fight Covington. Why would you want that fight? Why? Covington has done nothing to deserve a shot at fighting Tyron Woodley. All the guys that Usman have beaten, that Covington has beaten, Usman has looked more dominating and had more dominating wins in those fights than Kobe. And Kobe had his shot. He had his shot. Then what did he do? He said he had to have nasal surgery. For real? He had to have nasal surgery. And you knew you was coming up on time to fight for the belt. So, man, you know, there's a lot to talk about, you know, down the road, but let's jump into 232, man. So, what's your underrated?
So right up.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to run through predictions for the card. Let's run through predictions for the card.
Okay.
So the first one that I'll give a prediction for, because this is a fight I'll even though I probably won't be able to watch it because I think it's on the Fight Pass, and I don't have Fight Pass, but if it is, I won't be able to watch it. But this is my first one that I'm going to have my eyes on, and I might even pick one of these guys to DraftKings, the Brian Kelleher and Montel Jackson fight, because I'm just dying to see this dude, Montel Jackson, what he can do under the big lights in the UFC. Is what I've seen in his, from his highlights in a previous organization. I was impressed with what I saw. You know, I was impressed with his skill set and his stand up game. So, yeah, I'm definitely picking Montel Jackson to get the best of Brian Kelleher in that one, and have his first shining moment in the UFC. How you feel about that fight?
I really don't know too much about Montel Jackson, but from, you know, just the build-up going into the fight, there is a lot of hype around him. I don't know whether or not this is his first fight in the UFC. So, you know, normally guys first fight in the UFC, you know, it can go one or two ways. Sometimes the lights are a little too bright. But being that they're on the early prelims, there probably won't be that many people in the audience. So, you know, he's 6-1. Kelleher is 19-9. Kelleher is definitely a vet in this game. But, you know, 2018, I've been about new blood. So let's see what the young Montel Jackson has, man. Hopefully he come out put on the show so, you know, he can be recognized.
So I'm just going to jump right into the prelims because the rest of that I'm not familiar with those guys, and I'm not too interested to talk about the Uriah Hall fight because I also don't know the guy he's fighting.
Bayvon Lewis. Unless you knew them, then and you wanted to make a prediction for that one, then we'll just move on. Did you want to make a prediction for that one?
It's kind of crazy that Uriah Hall is on the early prelims, man. Uriah Hall has been a main event, co-main event, prelim headliner type dude, and now he's on the early prelims. I think that's punishment for him not making weight. I think his last fight he didn't make weight, and they had to pull him off the card. So I think the UFC might just be like disciplining him by putting him on the early prelims. So hopefully he has a good showing tomorrow.
All right, so we'll jump right into this. So another guy that sounds like Uriah Hall is this guy Ryan Hall, who's fighting BJ Penn.
Yes, he's fighting BJ Penn. I'm kind of like surprised myself to even say it. Like the fact that they're still booking him is just ridiculous. The fact that they can, that Dana White can scold, what's his face, the washed up guy from boxing that did the Cuffadel fight. Yeah, that dude, Cokehead De La Hoya, yeah, that's him. So anyways, so the guy who did the Chuck Liddell fight, the fact Dana White is able to scold him for booking Chuck Liddell and when he refused to keep booking Chuck Liddell back in 2010 when he forced him to retire, but then in 2018 you're still booking BJ Penn, I feel like that's kind of like you're kind of like going back on the whole thing with saying that. It's kind of hypocritical, I feel like, because BJ Penn, as far as I'm concerned, is from the same era as Chuck Liddell. He's taken a lot of strikes. So he might even be punch drunk himself at this point. If he goes in there and gets knocked out by this guy, Ryan Hall, or gets finished in the first round, Dana's got to force him to retire. You got to do guys justice, just like you do for the other guy. They're from the same era, as far as I'm concerned. So I don't understand why he's still on this card. That really bothers me right there. Because BJ Penn, I grew up watching BJ Penn, so it makes me upset to see him go in there and have to fight all these new guys and then get finished in the first round. Like his last fight, they had him fight Yair Rodriguez, and he got stopped in either the first, I think it was the second round TKO. But, like, why is he going to go in there against these young guys? Like, you putting him in there to get beat up, like, it's not even fair. Like, his reaction time's a lot slower. These new guys, boxing is better, like, what is that, man? I don't understand what's that. But anyways, Ryan Hall, I want to say he probably wins. Yeah, I'll probably say Ryan Hall wins, but I am definitely rooting for BJ Penn, though. I might even pick BJ Penn in DraftKings, to be honest, because I want to see him.
You just took the words out of my mouth.
That what
you
were going to say?
You just took the words out of my mouth, man. I was just about to say I think Ryan Hall going to win. But I might take BJ and DraftKings. but the thing with BJ Penn, though, Keys, is BJ has to realize he can't stand and bang with the young guys no more. He has to use his wrestling and his jiu-jitsu against these young guys. Because if you remember when Frankie fought Yair Rodriguez, what did he do to Yair? Remember, he just kept body slamming him into the canvas, wrestling him. Every time he would get up, he would slam him again, and that frustrates these young guys. The young guys, they want to stand up. They want to, they want to punch. They want to showcase their boxing skills and stuff like that. They don't want to get slammed into the mat. So if BJ could go back and do that, pull that stuff out of his bag, he would have a shot against Ryan Hall. But I'm with you. It's time, man. I think 2018, this should be the last fight for BJ Penn. And Diego Sanchez, 2019 should be his last fight.
Jim Miller, I agree.
Hopefully Jim Miller, he calls it quits because he looked bad in his last fight. It's just, you got to, fighters think they can fight, man. They think they can get in there and pull out a win. But some guys, you gotta protect them against themselves. And I think BJ this should be his last fight. Diego Sanchez, even though he's coming off a win, I think his next fight should be his last fight. Jim Miller, you had a good career, man. Hang it up. Gray Maynard, hang it up. It's a lot of guys, man, that we shouldn't see in the octagon no more, and I totally agree with you.
So, like, I think one last bit to put on it, the BJ Penn fight, and that I just realized when I was looking at the listing for the fight on the website, is that BJ Penn's last fight was at featherweight. He fought because Yair Rodriguez is a featherweight, so he must have fought at featherweight. And then now for this one, he moved back up to 155 to fight this Ryan Hall guy. And BJ Penn was a champion at lightweight at one time. So there's one last factor that I just want to put on it, for better or worse, that could help BJ Penn in this fight. So let's see how
he
does move back up.
145 and 155.
No, I thought BJ Penn was a 155 and 170 champ.
Yeah, that's right, 155 and 170, I'm sorry.
No, that's welterweight,
he was
right?
He was never that small of a guy.
Yeah, 145, yeah. Yeah, why would he fight y'all here at 145?
Yeah, I don't know why they did that either, but I just realized now, because now he moved back up and was lightweight bout. So I'm like, oh, he's back up. And he was the champ at lightweight, so maybe he was just out of his element fighting too small. Either way, you know, it's just different angles to take. I do think if he loses, he should retire. But I would love to see him pull out a great win in the weight class he used to dominate for years. So that's what I'm going with. Ryan Hall, I think Ryan Hall wins the fight. That's my pick. But BJ Penn, I'm very likely to pick him on DraftKings. So the next fight I want to ask you about is Kat Zingano versus Megan Anderson at women's featherweight. So this is a 145.
Man, Megan Anderson had a horrible showing in her fight against Holly Holm. But Holly Holm is a vet, a champ, and Holly Holm definitely comes out one of the great fight camps in UFC, the Winklejohn. And I think Holly Holm welcomed her into the UFC the correct way. So they, you know, let her know that there are no easy fights in the UFC. And Kat Zingano, oh, man, she's just so up and down, man. I just don't know when I can roll with her. I think I'm riding with Megan in this fight. Because I think Megan has her eyes on fighting Cyborg, and that was one of the reasons why she joined the UFC is to fight Cyborg. And I think Megan will have better showing this time after her experience in the octagon against Holly Holm. So I'm going with Megan Anderson, man. I think Megan wins by split decision or unanimous decision, but it's definitely going to be a decision. And I think after she wins, she'll call out Cyborg or the winner of the New Year's Cyborg fight.
Yeah. I mean, Kat Zingano being number five at bantamweight. You know, if she wins this fight, I'm sure they'll propel whoever wins this fight to go up to fight Cyborg or the winner of Cyborg and Nunes. But, you know, for this one, I'll probably go with Megan Anderson. I think she's better than what she looks like in the Holly Holm fight. I think she has more skills to showcase than that. And she did have a couple flash moments in that fight where I thought that she had it in the bag. But I think it was the first round. She was really overwhelming Holly Holm with strikes, I think, in the first round. And I thought she was going to get a first-round TKO. And then, you know, things changed pace after. Holly Holm took control of the fight. I think it was the second round. But, yeah, I'm probably going to pick Megan Anderson for this one, too. I'm going to roll with you on that. But I might – I don't know. I don't know who I'm going to pick on DraftKings. That one is a debate. But I do think Megan Anderson will win the fight. So moving on right from that one is the prelim main event. You have Andrei Arlovsky fighting Walt Harris. Now, if you don't remember Walt Harris, I didn't remember him either. But if the one fight that I can think of off the top is that he did just fill in
to fight for Fabricio Werdum. Fabricio Werdum was supposed to fight somebody. I forget who he was supposed to fight, but then the president fell out of the fight, and then they had Walt Harris sub in to fight for Werdum. Walt Harris went in there, and he just wasn't ready for Werdum's skill set. Werdum, I think, tapped him in, like, the first 30 seconds of the fight. Walt Harris got submitted. Yeah, Werdum had a good showing, but against a guy who really was much lower level than him and has nowhere near the experience level as him. So, and it's kind of, I think, a similar narrative with him versus Arlovski, because Arlovski was a champion. I believe Arlovski was a champion at 1.2. And I don't know. I just think Arlovski, you know, he's had a couple bad showings. I think he lost his last fight. I think he lost, like, a split decision to the guy who drinks out of the shoe. And, yeah, he lost a decision to the guy who drinks from the shoe. And then now, but I think Arlovski, though, I'm going to pick Arlovski for this one because I just don't think, like, Walt Harris, he's got pretty decent stand-up, but I think Arlovski's skilled in that department. Unless Walt Harris can overwhelm him in like the, he can overwhelm him in the first round, I think Arlovski will take over the fight in the second and third, he will take over the fight in the second and third. If not, so I'm gonna pick Arlovski, and I'll probably pick him in DraftKings as well. What do you think?
I want to go to Arlovski. I really do. I think he's going to win the fight, but there's something to me saying Walt Harris is going to pull this one out. I think Walt Harris is going to clip him, rush him, and finish him, and I think he'll probably do that probably in the first round, because I think if it goes to the like second and third rounds, Arlovski being a vet, he'll find a way to pull the fight out. So I think for Walt Harris, for him to win, he's going to have to do it in the first round. And I think he's going to definitely want to have a better showing than the one he had against Werdum. So I'm going with Walt Harris, but if I was going to take any one of these guys and draft kings, it'll probably be Arlovski. But I'm going with Walt Harris to win this fight.
Okay. And then so we can kick off the main card predictions right now. Everybody, main card predictions, let's go. All right, so the first fight. If it's going from bottom to top, the first one of the night will be a pretty good one because you have a featherweight fight. You have Chad Mendes, who just returned this year. He had a suspension. I think it was like a year and a half or 2 years. So Chad Mendes came back earlier this year, and he had a fight. I think it was in the summer sometime. So he had a stoppage win. I think it was a TKO win. And then now he's fighting this guy, Volkanovski, Alexander Volkanovski he's fighting. I'm pretty sure this guy, Volkanovski, is a wrestler. And which is a pretty, I think he's a wrestler, but maybe I'm not sure. I don't think I've ever seen this Volkanovski fight, but I feel like I've seen maybe quick highlights of him. And I want to say he's a wrestler, but I think he doesn't have good stand-up, though.
He is a wrestler.
He's a wrestler.
Yeah, when I was reading about him, when I was actually reading, the lead up to this fight, they were saying that both of their wrestling, well, this one, I want to say it was, I can't even remember which one it was, but what I was reading was they both good wrestlers, but they said Mendes has more power than Volkanovski.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying at this point. I think, I think Volkanovski, it's tempting for me to roll with Volkanovski because, you know, I want to roll with the new blood like you. You know, a lot of these guys, I like dog picks. I like underdog picks for DraftKings. So maybe I'll pick Volkanovski, but I do think that he is not ready for Chad Mendes. I do think Chad Mendes is a pretty good wrestler, and I don't think this guy is just going to go out there and school Chad Mendes at all. So, and I'm a pretty big Chad Mendes fan. I don't think he can go out there and school Chad Mendes, especially if he's getting if he's getting beat on the ground and then Mendez forces him to fight on his feet, I think Mendez might even finish him, probably by midway in the second round if it comes up to a stand-up fight. But also, I think Mendez can grind him out for three rounds and win a unanimous decision if they take it to the mat for three rounds. So I'll probably roll with Chad Mendez. That's my pick. And then probably roll with him on DraftKings too, honestly. But maybe I could be swayed to an underdog pick and picking Volkanovski. But I'm picking Chad Mendez, for I think he'll win the fight.
I think Chad Mendez wins the fight also. I think the wrestling will even each other out. I think they'll probably both have great takedown defense. It'll be basically who can get back to their feet and control the octagon and control the pace of the fight. I think Chad Mendez, looking at himself, is probably being a fight or two away from fighting for the belt, being that Aldo is no longer the champ and Conor isn't there anymore. You know, he probably can get another shot at the belt, being there's a new champ and Max Holloway. So I look at Chad Mendez probably looking for another title shot, being a little bit more hungry. I look at Alexander Volkanovski. I think he needs to look at this fight, if he loses, as a way to work on his game, to take some things from probably the experience of being in there with a top guy like Chad Mendez and using that down the road. I go with Chad Mendez winning this fight by TKO or a knockout in the second round.
Okay, the next fight we want to go in is Lee's favorite fight on the card. He's most excited for is Aiyer Latifi fighting Corey Anderson. This is Lee's favorite fight, so I'm gonna let you give your prediction this one first.
Okay. This guy Latifi, I know for sure that he definitely called out John Jones. He called out John Jones on Twitter. He said that if John Jones wins, he definitely wants the next shot. And then I retweeted at him saying, well, I think you have to go through Anthony Smith first. There's levels to this. So, you know, Ben, he's cocky. He got a 14-5 decent record, won no contest, going against Corey Anderson, 11-4. I think Corey Anderson is coming off a win?
Yeah, I want to say he's coming off a win. They're both coming off wins.
Okay. Corey Anderson has showed a lot. He's definitely showed a lot here in his last couple fights. This fight, for me, is hard to pick. Normally, I would go with the veteran in this fight, Aiyer Latifi. I'm going to take Latifi, man, even though I feel Corey Anderson is going to win. I think Latifi is going to win, I think maybe by a submission or something like that. So I'm going to take Latifi, man.
All right. So for this one, I'm probably going to – I can't really remember what Latifi was looking like in his last fight. I want to say he fought Glover Teixeira. I want to say, but maybe I'm wrong. Corey Anderson, I can't remember who he fought. I know he fought Manawa sometime recently. I know that he fought again after that, but I know he got knocked out by Manawa, which is kind of ridiculous because Manawa has no chin. So I don't know how Corey Anderson got knocked out by Manawa. You're supposed to knock out Manawa, not get knocked out by Manawa. Come on, Corey Anderson. What are you doing, bro? Come on, bro. Killing me with that. That's ridiculous. That's a glass jaw right there. He made you look like a glass jaw. Come on, bro. You made him look like a you made Manawa look like a title contender. He ain't even a title contender, man. Not with that chin. John Jones will head kick his head into the fourth row, bro. If Manawa fought John Jones, he will get his head kicked into the fourth row within the first round. It will be terrible. It will be so terrible. Oh, my God. So, anyways, Corey Anderson, you're too much. But, anyways, I think Corey Anderson, you know, this is kind of funny, but he was looking a little mad on Twitter that they had to move the event to L.A., seeing that he had to move his family out to L.A. with the change of the fight and everything. So I think he's going to fight with a chip on his shoulder in this fight. I think he's going to go in there with some emotion. And usually sometimes that throws guys off, but at the same time, I think it's going to fuel him here. I think he's going to have a pretty good performance. So this fight's kind of like a 50-50 for me, but I'm probably going to – I want to pick Corey Anderson on DraftKings, but I do think I'd probably go with you and say Latifi is going to win the fight. But I think I might pick Corey Anderson on DraftKings. I just have a feeling he'll land a good amount of significant strikes, even if he does lose a decision or get submitted, you know, in the second or third round. So for the next fight, we have Carlos Condit. Carlos Condit's fighting a lightweight who's moving up to welterweight in Michael Chiesa. So Michael Chiesa is the number 9 lightweight moving up to 170 to fight Carlos Condit. Carlos Condit, I believe he fought Robbie Lawler twice. He never captured the welterweight belt, but I think he's been a really big talent in the UFC for a long time. He's one of those guys who you say, wow, this guy, you know, who's the best people in the UFC to never have won UFC gold? And you think of Donald Cerrone. You think of Carlos Condit. Like, this is one of those guys you think of off the top, you know, with those fighters who have won a lot of fights and shown a lot of, you know, high level performance, you know, a lot of different skills, but never won UFC gold. That's Carlos Condit. So Michael Chiesa, you know, maybe he was too big for lightweight. So I don't know. I mean, technically you could say maybe he's fighting the bigger guy in Carlos Condit, but at the same time, maybe Chiesa was already the bigger guy. Maybe he's huge and he just was cutting too much weight, so he had a disadvantage at lightweight. I don't really know, man, who I'm going to go with. I kind of want to go with Condit, but at the same time, I'm thinking maybe his time is kind of running up. It's kind of running short in the UFC. I don't know. But I think I watched his last fight, and I didn't really like the way he looked. But at the same time, I vaguely remember his last fight, so that might be kind of inaccurate. But then again, same thing with Chiesa, because I'm pretty sure Chiesa lost to Anthony Pettis. So both of them, I wasn't too impressed by their last performance. I think I'm going to roll with Condit, though. I'm going to roll with Condit. I'll probably pick Chiesa on DraftKings, because maybe he'll have an upset. But I'm going to roll with Condit for my prediction.
Oh, man. I'm going with Chiesa, man. I think Condit is definitely his better days are behind him. Would I be surprised if he was to pull out the win? No, because he's a guy that's been in big-time fights before. You know, he's seen it all. You know, he's done it all. You know, he's definitely a vet in the game. But, you know, he's lost his last 4 fights. And I think maybe this is the right weight class for him. And, after all the smack he talked about Conor McGregor and how much money he want for him, I think it would be definitely a letdown if he was getting there and have a bad showing. So I think I'm going to go with Chiesa. I think he out-wrestles Condit. I think his ground game will definitely take the win out of Condit's sails, and Condit will come out probably in the third round, you know, very, very knowing that he's down in the fight. And I think Chiesa just does what he does, and he wins a decision over Carlos Condit. And I wouldn't be surprised after the fight if Carlos Condit retires. And if he doesn't retire, I see the UFC cutting him, because there's no way they can keep him, and he lost 5 straight fights. So I'm going with Chiesa.
Okay. So the next one we got is the co-main event. You got Chris Cyborg fighting Amanda Nunes. Nunes, you know, UFC Women's Bantamweight Champion. She decimated Ronda Rousey on this same card last year for the New Year's card. Decimated Ronda Rousey, I'm pretty sure. 2 years ago, she decimated Ronda Rousey. inside the first round. She just overwhelmed her in the striking department. There was not a thing Ronda could do. I think she had Ronda rocked within like the first 10 seconds of the fight. It was a really dominant victory. She also stopped Miesha Tate, too. Yeah, she kind of dominated Miesha Tate, too, to win the belt. So Amanda Nunes has done a lot of impressive things. And then she's had, I believe, two title defenses. No, she's defended her belt three times, actually. She fought Raquel Pennington after that, which I believe was a doctor stoppage in the fifth round. And then she also defended against Valentina Shevchenko. I think she won a decision there. So, yeah, three title defenses and also defeated Miesha Tate. I mean, Amanda Nunes has beaten, like, a lot of high level fighters. I mean, she's a pretty good champion. I really can't lie about that. She's really done a lot. Chris Cyborg has done a lot. But at the same time, you come to think, like, who has she really fought in competition? It's really hard to judge because these girls are coming over here. And one argument that I've always made is that these are, like, a lot of them are women's bantamweights from other organizations, women's bantamweight champions from other organizations moving up in weight to fight Chris Cyborg. And I just don't know. I really haven't had a way to judge, you know, her level of competition. I think her biggest competition yet was the Holly Holm fight. And in that fight, that was her only fight ever her only win ever that wasn't by way of knockout or TKO, where Holly Holm absorbed a lot of Cyborg strikes and took her the distance. And Holly Holm lost the decision, but I just still think Holly Holm stood in there and stood her ground and really she took a lot of Cyborg's best punches and stayed in there all five rounds. And it was a pretty good fight. I really can't lie. It was a pretty good fight. So this one's really – I think this is a really closely matched fight. I mean, at the same time, I still am very, very tempted to just make the pick for Cyborg for DraftKings. And in my prediction, this prediction is tough because, I'm going to pick Cyborg on DraftKings, but I'm going to roll with Nunes with an upset.
What?
Because I think if Nunes can get Cyborg to the ground with her wrestling ability, I think she can take over the fight. And as long as within the first two rounds, and probably a little bit in the third round, if she can just outlast Cyborg's onslaught of strikes, because Cyborg is a very good boxer. You know, she's a licensed boxer and everything. She's a licensed boxer and everything. So I think if Nunes can outlast the onslaught, you know, especially in the first two rounds, and then I'm sure Cyborg will come out in the opening of the third round. But if Nunes can get her to the ground, which I think she's going to try to do, I think that she can win the fight. So I'm going to take Amanda Nunes in a huge upset, crazy, come out of nowhere upset. But I probably will pick Cyborg on DraftKings. But it could go either way. I could pick Nunes on DraftKings too. I might want to make a dog pick for that one. So we'll see. What do you think about that fight? It's an interesting fight, really interesting fight.
The thing is, if you go back to the Holly Holm and Cyborg fight, it was 2-2 going into the fifth round. I think Holly Holm, her tactical error in that fight was she kept doing the same thing over and over. She would hit her and slide to the right. Throw a jab and slide to the right. She never switched it up where she would hit her and slide to the left or feint and go for a takedown. Every time she was hitting with a pop shot and sliding to the right. So once Cyborg figured that out, she would let Holly come in, and then she would just load up and hit her when she was sliding to the right. I think Holly Holm, she could have won that fight in the fifth round if she just would have tried to take her down. Because Cyborg had figured out what she was doing. I had figured out what she was doing by just watching it. And I just felt that Holly, probably in the third through the fifth rounds, that Cyborg had figured her out, and she had started tattooing her, and, you know, Holly had a chance in the fifth, and she just didn't take advantage. I think Nunez will probably watch that fight and see what Holly did that was effective against Cyborg. But I think Nunez has a shot if she wrestles her. Even though Cyborg is good on the mat, I don't think she's been – she's dictated when she's had – when she's been on the mat. Whereas if I think if Nunez dictates when Cyborg is on the mat, it may put a little apprehension in Cyborg. Both fighters are good. Both fighters are good. Very, very good. But I'm going with the fighter that's good and the fighter that's bigger, and that's Chris Cyborg. And I think she dominates Amanda Nunez. I think she gets her up out of there via TKO or KO, probably in the third or fourth round. I think Nunez comes in and fights with a lot of heart. I think the fans are definitely – people that don't like Amanda Nunez, I think they'll lead this pay-per-view with her being probably one of their new best fighters. I think she'll definitely win a lot of people over the, tomorrow night with her performance. And if she does pull off the upset, I really don't know where that leaves Cyborg, because basically, you know, the UFC will probably, of course, get her immediate rematch or whatever. But at the same time, you know, I definitely don't know what that'll do to her legacy. And but I'm going with Cyborg, and I'll probably go with Cyborg on DraftKings, and I'm picking her to win by TKO tonight.
All right. And with that being said, the moment you've all been waiting for, the main event, your boy John Jones versus Alexander Gustafsson, the rematch for the now vacant light heavyweight title. You got to take the floor right now. Actually, you know what? You know what? Let me get mine out of the way real quick, and then you got to finish it off, unless you want to go first. This is your boy. You got to do it. You got to go.
I'll go first.
Yeah, go first.
If you listen to our show on Wednesday, you know I predicted a draw will probably be the best possible outcome. Because I think a draw, it changes the narrative of John Jones and the way he's perceived. Because I think it's a lose-lose for him. I think if he wins, people will say he won because he's juicing. I think if he loses, people will say he lost because he's not juicing anymore. So I think regardless of what happens, there's a lose-lose for him. I think Gustafsson is a great guy. I think Gustafsson is one of the best light heavyweights in the world. But with that being said, I'm a John Jones guy. I think he goes in there, and probably the first round, I think Gustafsson probably gives the best of him in the first round. Well, both of them got ring rust, so I really can't use ring rust because they both haven't fought. But I think Gustafsson comes out establishing a good pace in the first round. I think John comes out in the second round and, you know, takes control over the fight. I think John dominates rounds 2 and 3. I think Gustafsson comes back in round 4, shows a lot of heart. And I think John pulls it out in round 5 and wins by unanimous decision. And new, John Jones.
Okay. So I think either which way it goes, it'd be whichever one of these guys were to come out and win, since they both made weight, you know, they're – unless one of them slips on a banana peel tomorrow or trips over a speaker cord or, I don't know, you know, goes to say hi to somebody and twists their ankle like Tony Ferguson. Like, unless some just freak accident happens like that or falling out of a Walmart carriage like Cyborg, even though she's still going to fight, you know, something random like that, then they're definitely going to fight. And the thing is that either which one of them wins, I think it makes a good path. You know, Gustafsson being a champion, I think would be a good path. Jones being the champion again is a good path. You know, Gustafsson said he's more motivated just by the idea of defeating John Jones is more motivating to him than even winning the UFC gold. He said that's more of an achievement. Is beating Jones would be more of an achievement to him than winning the title. So I like Gustafson's mind state. That's why I'm a fan of this guy, because I like the way his mentality going into his fights and things like that. That
he's definitely been a pro.
Shows me where his motivation
is. He's definitely been a pro.
A lot of these guys just
Gustafson. No, I like that he's still about the competitiveness, not just about wanting to get a
belt around your waist to then go lose it in your next fight. Like, this guy, you could tell he wants to beat the best guy out there, not just be the champion, to fight the best guy. So that's why I like Gustafson right here. And, this one, I don't know who I'm going to pick in DraftKings, if I even pick the main event, because Lee's not picking this fight for DraftKings, so therefore I would be less motivated to pick this fight in DraftKings because I want to face off against him, because I was going to pick Gustafson in DraftKings, and I still might. Yeah, I think I still might pick Gustafson in DraftKings, so I'm probably going to roll with Gustafson on DraftKings.
And I'll take DraftKings. And I'll take Jones
in
DraftKings.
John Jones?
Yep, in DraftKings.
Okay, you already did. You're saying you already did pick him.
I'm picking him to win the fight, and I'm also going to take him in DraftKings when we do our head-to-head. All
right, word. So I think your breakdown of the fight was what I wanted them to hear. I'm just going to go with the simple. And, I think John Jones goes out there and he'll – I don't really have a round breakdown. I really don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I watched their first fight, and I thought I saw Gustafson win the first round by far. I thought I saw John Jones edge the second round. I think it was the third round. I want to say between the third, fourth, and fifth round, I had two, like, tied rounds. Because it was really close rounds. But then I thought the fourth round, I think it was the – was it the fourth round or the fifth round? I want to say Jones won 2 and 4. And then Gustafson probably definitely won the first round and maybe edged the third round. And then Jones might have won the fifth round. So I probably would have had Jones winning 3 rounds out of 5 by clinching it in the fifth round over Gustafson. But depending on who you had winning the fifth round, it could be 3 rounds or 2 either way. Or maybe 4 rounds to 1 for Gustafson. Because I was thinking many different things. I might have watched it back a couple times, different rounds to figure out what was going on because I missed it. It's hard to pay attention for a 25-minute fight. But this one, it's not so much I'd want to see John lose. I'm really not really concerned with seeing him lose. It's not really like that. I'd just be wanting to see Gustafson win. Because all the spotlight that was put on John right now, no attention for Gustafson, who's a really good fighter too, and he fights with a lot of heart, this guy, and I'm just a fan of him as a person. So I would like to see Gustafson win, and I'll probably pick him on DraftKings too. But, I feel like the most likely scenario is Jones will win it because, he always finds a way to win against a lot of these guys. I mean, look at the way he submitted Lyoto Machida. Like, that was crazy. So, I think it was like a flying guillotine or something like that, they called it. So, yeah, he always finds a way to best these guys. So, I feel like the most likely scenario is that Jones wins. But, in my prediction, I'm going to roll with Gustafson to win the fight. Because I think in the first fight, Gustafson's boxing was far better. And I think the problem that he had was that he was counterpunching, but he wasn't landing the right shot. He was counterpunching, but then he would quickly jump out of the pocket. He would get in there, he would land a combination, but then he would quickly jump out of the pocket to avoid getting hit. So I think where he went wrong was jumping out too quick and not to follow up and keep going. You landed a good combination, keep going, or you counterpunch. You land a good shot, stay in there and keep doing what you're doing. I think he was holding back a little bit too much, and I think his boxing was doing just fine. He should have just kept it going, and I don't even know why he started going for takedowns in the first fight. He didn't need to get John to the ground. I don't understand what was the purpose of that. You had the fight on the feet. I think it was clear to everybody that he had the fight, the stand-up game in it. So there's no need to take John Jones to the ground. I think if Gustin, his route to victory here is to keep the fight on the feet and just do what you do with your boxing, bro, because I think your boxing was already better than his. I think John Jones had the edge with the head kicks and the kicks to the body. John Jones definitely hasn't beat in the kickboxing department. But I think Gustin has the better – was landing the head strikes was where he was doing better. And his with the hands, he was doing better. So I'm going to pick Gustin to win the fight in another huge upset. So I'm making two dog picks, and I'm probably going to pick both Nunes and Gustin on DraftKings. So I can't wait to face off in both these fights. This is going to be good. And that wraps up our 232 predictions. That was awesome. Awesome. Outstanding. Salute to you, bro.
I think one thing you missing, though, Keys, that kept out of the first fight was how effective John was with his elbow strikes. His elbow strikes in the fourth and fifth round.
I'm glad you reminded me of that.
His elbow strikes in the fourth and fifth round were devastating. And it was like, you know, it was like, because I know when I was watching the fight, I was like, damn, why ain't he using his elbows? Because, you know, Alex was tagging him. But once he gave John that little bit of space, and John just started, you know, kicking him, elbowing him, then he hit him with the back elbow in the fourth round, then he hit him with the back elbow in the fifth round. He almost knocked him out in the fifth round. And, you know, I think that's another underrated thing about John is that when he hits you with them elbows are lethal. And I got to commend Alexander Gustin, man. I'm a fan of Alex Gustin, but he has definitely been a professional this week. Well, all the BS that went on with moving the event, you know, all the stuff, all the bad press for John Jones, you know, Alex has definitely been focused. He's definitely been a professional. If he was to win, I wouldn't be surprised. Just like the other day when you said it would probably be a curveball if Gustin was to win. I don't think it would be a curveball. I think he's one of the top three light heavyweights in the world. Just don't put him in there with Rumble Johnson again. I mean, just don't do that to him. But, you know, looking forward to the event tomorrow. I'm having a fight party tomorrow. I have a couple friends over. You know, get up tomorrow, cook, and get ready. And hopefully it'll live up to his billing. And hopefully after the fight, there's no negative news about John Jones. I know everybody will be sitting on pins and needles Saturday after the fight, Sunday, all day Sunday, and probably all day Monday, waiting to see what the test results are going to come back and say if he wins. So everybody enjoy the event, man. Lee and Keys, 232 predictions. You know, we have fun with this. We definitely like to get amped up for the big cards. This is a big card. Like I said, I'm definitely worried about Condit tomorrow. I'm definitely worried about BJ Penn tomorrow. So hopefully both of them guys will show up and show out. And if things don't go their way, hopefully they decide to do the right thing for them and their family and call it a career. And if not, you know, hopefully Dana White will do the best thing for the fighters' interest.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's been a good one, everybody. Definitely tune in to UFC 232 tomorrow night. It's going to be awesome. I'm pretty sure they just aired the weigh-ins on YouTube. I think they just uploaded the weigh-in footage to YouTube, so you can go check that out. But if you don't want to, just follow all four of them, guys and girls made weight, you know, main event and co-main event. So we're locked in. You know, hopefully nothing happens last second and we get to see all the fights. I'm hoping this whole card stays intact because so far it has. And, yeah, with that being said, everybody enjoy, be safe, don't drink and drive. And also, you know, if we don't get back on beforehand, you know, I want to wish everybody a happy new year as well. So that's pretty much all I got. And, Lee, unless you have anything else you want to leave him with, then we're out.
Like my man Key said, we might jump on Monday night. We might. Then that's New Year's Eve. I doubt it. So we probably won't get to get with you guys until 2019. You know, everybody be safe. Have a happy New Year. Have fun with your family. Enjoy your family. And thanks for listening to our show. And then closing, like always, peace.
We over and out. Lee and Keys, have a good night.